This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Our bodies are living longer, but preserving our minds into old age is still a challenge. More than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease or a similar form of dementia, and that number could triple by the year 2050. Millions of us will lose our memories someday. How should we care for those who suffer with degenerative diseases that might be incurable? We would love to hear about your experiences. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Now, some demographics are particularly at risk. African Americans are 2 to 3 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than whites. Yet in clinical trials, blacks are only 3 to 5% of the participants. 2/3 of Americans with Alzheimer's and dementia are women. Lifespans for women tend to be longer than for men, but female biology and hormonal changes may also play a role. Let's begin our program in discussion with Marita Golden, a journalist and author whose latest novel, The Wide Circumference of Love, is about an African-American family dealing with Alzheimer's. She wrote the cover story on blacks in Alzheimer's for a June edition of The Washington Post magazine. Marita Golden, welcome to 1A.
Thank you, Joshua.
Joining us from the studios of KUVO Public Radio in Denver is Jill Lesser, the president of Women Against Alzheimer's and a board member for Us Against Alzheimer's. Jill, welcome.
Good morning.
Marita Golden, let me start with you. As we mentioned, you wrote a cover story for the Washington Post magazine last month about African Americans and Alzheimer's and dementia. Why do researchers believe this is the case? What do we know about the factors behind that?
Well, what is known is that there is a gene that both African Americans and whites have, but that in African Americans, that gene gives African Americans a slightly increased chance of developing Alzheimer's. It is known that there is a genetic reason, but what that reason is, they're still researching. Another thing that is a factor is that African Americans have much higher rates of the chronic disorders, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, that over the span of a lifetime basically kill the brain. And some of that may be also genetic as well, so that there is a genetic reason that we do develop it slightly higher, as well as those chronic disorders.
Jill Lesser, you are president of Women Against Alzheimer's. As we said earlier, 2/3 of Americans with Alzheimer's or dementia are women. Why is that? What do we know about how these neurodegenerative diseases affect women?
Well, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, we do know that women live longer, and we assume that that is a part of the puzzle. We also know, and we have been finding out more and more over the past few decades, that there are significant changes in a woman's body as they go through menopause, as women's hormones change, as their estrogen levels decrease. And the current thinking in science is that there is a hormonal connection between women and women's hormones and why they get Alzheimer's. In addition, there is a growing body of evidence to suggest that women are more prone to depression, anxiety, and other diseases that come from continued stress, and that, among other factors, an increase over a lifetime of stress and anxiety and depression does lead to a higher likelihood. So there are many theories out there. Unfortunately, there is really not enough research being done on sex-based differences so that we can get to the bottom of the real reasons.
We're speaking to Jill Lesser, the president of Women Against Alzheimer's and also a board member of Us Against Alzheimer's, as well as journalist and author Marita Golden, the author of a novel, her latest novel, The Wide Circumference of Love, about an African-American family dealing with Alzheimer's. She also wrote a cover story in June for the Washington Post magazine on blacks and Alzheimer's. We welcome your questions and thoughts as well. Email 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Jill Lesser, you mentioned clinical trials. Are women underrepresented in clinical trials compared to men. Do you think the gender balance is right?
Interestingly, in this area, in neuroscience, we are finding more and more women engaged in clinical trials. Where there really, really is a shortage is with numbers overall. So there are lots and lots of reasons why it is incredibly difficult to enroll the right participants in clinical trials in Alzheimer's research. And while from a percentage standpoint, we are seeing the numbers of women approach the numbers of men, we are, as Marita said, certainly seeing far fewer African Americans and far fewer Latinos who are also more likely to get the disease than Caucasians in those clinical trials. The numbers we need are extraordinary. There are lots of drugs in the pipeline, and yet there is a fraction of the number of participants that we need nationwide.
And Marita, we had mentioned at the top of the program that as low as 5% or 3% of participants in these trials are Black. What are some of the factors behind that?
Well, as Jill said, the types of people who are perfect for a clinical trial are often hard to find. But in the African American community, there is the long history of a kind of a malevolent relationship to the health industry, the Tuskegee experiments, and the long tradition of segregation in the health industry. And yet, at the same time, African Americans, when they are targeted and when they are asked if they will participate in a clinical trial, generally will say yes 80% of the time, based on my conversations with people who are actually doing this. But largely, the simple answer is that African Americans were not targeted. African Americans were targeted for exclusion for a lot of things around health issues, but they have not sufficiently been targeted for inclusion. Now, we know that when they are, as I said, they will participate. And one of the most interesting initiatives is the global Alzheimer's project that John Dwyer is doing in 40 different cities that is targeting African-American communities, Latino communities, to get them in the trials.
I should note also the Tuskegee experiment refers to the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, which
exactly.
was done for about 40 years through Tuskegee University with mostly poor Black sharecroppers, where they were given syphilis and never fully given the treatment that they needed, even when penicillin was known
exactly.
to be a remedy. Some of them were never told about the exact nature of the study, and so that clearly sowed a lot of discord.
Exactly.
Among African Americans for any kind of medical study.
Exactly. But, for example, Dr. Goldie Byrd down at North Carolina A&T is part of a big project that's looking for 100 African American families that have one or more people living with Alzheimer's to find out if there's a genetic relationship in these families. And she's done a lot of really innovative work around targeting the Black community and getting good results and getting people involved.
North Carolina A&T is a historically Black university.
Exactly.
Does that help?
It gives her an edge, but she found that she had to go out into the Black community and build trust. That was the main thing she said. She had to build trust. And basically, she had to listen to the people and ask them what they wanted in terms of relationship with the people who were asking them to be part of the trials.
Jill, I know that we're going to talk more about caregiving as the program goes on, but as I understand it, women are also more likely to bear the brunt of the burden for taking care of family members with Alzheimer's. I understand there was recently a study, a report from the Milken Institute about this and how it affects families. Can you summarize that for us briefly?
Sure. So, yes, women are approximately somewhere between 65 and 70% of the Alzheimer's and dementia caregivers in this country. I mean, and in fact, I think as a society, we know that women tend to occupy the caregiving role generally. But for Alzheimer's, it is an entirely different kind of caregiving experience. The average number of caregiver hours per week demanded by a dementia patient are approximately 30 hours, and that's it for many patients on the low side, particularly as the disease progresses. What the Milken Institute did, which was really an incredible study, trying to look across the board at the price women pay for dementia. And part of that price is around caregiving. There are both direct costs of caregiving and indirect costs of caregiving. The most interesting piece, from my perspective, is really around the indirect societal costs of caregiving and the reason, and which leads to the fact that Alzheimer's has become an incredible economic driver in this country. So, for example, just to use my own personal experience, I was a managing director at a large public affairs firm in Washington, D.C. I was 40 years old. My children were 3, 6, and 9 10 years ago when my mother was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So my story, which is not atypical of a middle-aged sort of sandwich generation caregiver, my income, of course, had to change. I consider myself very lucky having a husband who was able to supplement a lot of the income that I was bringing in. But the costs of caregiving are both reflected in caring for that patient, but they are also in many, many opportunity costs lost.
Right.
And lots of women leaving the workplace after decades of, women finding themselves better and better off in the workplace.
Well, we're going to talk more about ways of improving caregiving on the other side of the break, particularly through preserving the stories of people with Alzheimer's. But unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Marita Golden, journalist and author. Her latest novel is called The Wide Circumference of Love, about an African-American family dealing with Alzheimer's. Marita, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
We'll dive back into our conversation and into more of your stories in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.